The Olympic Games actually start today. The opening ceremonies aren't until Friday, but there's rugby and soccer today, and Team USA takes on host country France at 3 o'clock today. I don't know if that's on TV or if it's just being streamed on Peacock, but for those who are interested, yep, our underdog soccer team, who didn't do very well in Copa America, is hopefully gets their act together and could make it interesting. I'd like to see them make it interesting. Gator, will you watch today at 3?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I'll have it on.
Okay.
I'll have it on. See, if you have any questions tomorrow, you
can ask me. I'll have lots of questions.
Would you like me to text you updates?
No.
No? Okay.
No, that's okay.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Yeah. Is it because you don't have Peacock? Is that what it is?
Oh, right? No, I've got Peacock.
You've got plans? You got something else planned? Is that what it is?
Sure.
Okay.
Anything.
Well,
it's going to go playing trees or something. I don't know.
The good news is that if it does become a topic tomorrow, I'll be ready.
Good. Well,
yeah, I'll be ready.
Glad you'll be ready for it.
Let's go USA.
Who are they playing?
France, the host country.
Oh, France.
Yep.
Oui.
Yep.
So how does this tournament work?
I don't know. You play games, you try and win them all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I know how the World Cup works, but I said this on the air 1,000 times. I love World Cup soccer, and I watch it in the group stage, and then, you know, the teams advance, and then there's, you know, the bracket play. But now I don't know how this works. I just know that I one of the things I do genuinely like about international soccer and when Team USA plays is it is one of the rarities where our team is a massive underdog, and we'll never do another miracle on ice. For those of us that live through it, we know it probably cannot be replicated, but this feels like one field where it can be.
Could be.
Yep.
Ish. I'm not sure which way I would like the soccer format tournament to work in the Olympics. Do I want it to work like the NCAA basketball tournament where it's just, hey, you lose, you're out. You got to win to survive. Or is it the group play thing where the top two teams from each group or whatever advance and based on point differentials? And I don't know. It gets convoluted. So I'm not, that's why I ask, because I don't know how it works.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep you updated if you choose.
That'd be,
should I live tweet during the game?
You can do what you want if you want a live tweet, but as far as letting me know, that's unnecessary.
All right. You in the bubble? You gonna stay in the bubble?
I'm just gonna stay in the bubble, Doug. Gonna stay in the bubble.
All right, we asked for 10 texts and we got them as it pertains to the Detroit Lions and training camp, which opens today. Who's the player you want to hear good things about that'll get you most fired up in the early stages here at training camp? Mario and Warren says Jameson Williams. He's gonna have a big year, and we're already hearing so much good news about him. Brian in a car. Hey guys, for me, I want to hear that Jack Campbell is firing on all cylinders. Casey and Hal, Broderick Martin need depth on the line. Calvin from Warren says Tarion Arnold, because that would mean we have two solid cornerbacks with Carlton Davis III. Aaron in Royal Oak says Jack Campbell, no doubt. If he plays well, our defense will be really good. Frank and Ipsy, Marcus Davenport would change our defense with four studs up front. Next text from Tom in St. Clair. Davenport. It helps solve the problem of getting to the quarterback. Dominic in Northville, Tarion Arnold, because we need that lockdown corner to solidify our top-tier defense. Mark in Tecumseh, I want to hear that Sam Laporta has put on solid muscle. Micah writes in, Aleem McNeil is who I want to hear is tearing it up. It'll make our D-line take a huge step forward, especially the pass rush. There are the 10 texts. Any comments?
I think the name that makes the most sense for me to want to be interested in is Tarion Arnold or Carlton Davis, one of those two guys, to see if they're up to speed. But I'm not going to lie. The one I'm most interested in is James Houston.
Oh.
Being the guy on the outside. Back to form, back to terrorizing quarterbacks, and maybe he's got a couple moves under his belt now instead of the one spectacular move he's got, but he's the guy.
The candidates at the defensive end spot are, and really the backup defensive linemen in general, are really interesting when you start talking about James Houston, Levi Onwuzurike, Broderick Martin, Mekhi Wingo, Matthew Betts. Mm-hmm. You were gone. I can't remember what the topic was. You were gone a couple weeks ago. I guess it was last week. And we had a run on Matthew Betts texts, like a run of people excited about Matthew Betts, who had whatever 19 sacks in the CFL.
Yeah, had a ton of sacks in the CFL last year. Defensive player of the year there. There's reason to be intrigued. Absolutely. Does that translate to the NFL? I don't know. He's had opportunities in the NFL that didn't pan out, but maybe things have clicked.
It's hard to say. It feels like most CFL experiments, and I almost feel like I'm kind of accustomed to every year there being an experimental player, like a guy who didn't play college football, or a guy who comes from the CFL, or a small school guy, or who's a dude from Army we had a couple years ago, like a safety linebacker?
Yeah, I forget. It was Evan actually hung out with him a couple times.
Did he?
Yeah.
Anyway, guys like that. Like
Jobby Nooner or something like that.
That sounds about right. The Lions, I feel like more years than not, have a guy like that. A Kicklicious.
Right.
So this year it's Matthew Betts, the experimental prospect. And most of the time, those guys don't work out.
Not typically.
No.
But maybe he does. Nope. You don't know unless you throw him out there in practice and see what he can do. And maybe he's ahead of everybody else because he's got a motor and he's got determination and he's got a chip the size of Amon-Ra St. Brown's chip.
Yep. 248-539-9797. More feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. Here are some doubters. Back-to-back text. The Lions are primed for regression. They're closer to the flash-in-the-pan Jags than a dynasty. 8-9, 7-10, or 6-11 season coming. I shoot the boot guarantee. Signed. They didn't sign.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding.
You cannot shoot the boot guarantee without signing your name and giving us contact information.
That's right.
It is a worthless guarantee if we don't know who you are.
It's just a hunch.
I'd like to know what makes them closer to a flash in the pan than a dynasty. I don't think they're a dynasty, but a legit contender, I think, is the only thing people are claiming.
I think that's accurate.
But they've drafted extraordinarily well. Their young players are doing incredible things.
I mean,
there's less nonsense. What makes this feel like a flash in the pan? I'll tell you what feels like a flash in the pan. I hate to say it, and I'm loving it. It feels like the Tigers are kind of being a flash in the pan team right now. There's so many guys that are performing at a level that is way above their track record. I don't feel like anybody on the Lions needs to perform way above what they're capable of for this team to have success.
Well, hopefully the Tigers are doing what the Lions did. All these young guys are starting to get together and playing well right now for the Tigers. And, you know, it took a little bit for the Lions young players to get it together. And then once they did, they've taken off. So in year four of this thing, I mean, I don't know where you're seeing the drop off or where you expect. I guess that's a great question. Where do you expect to see the drop off?
I mean, there's.
It's a young team.
It's a young team where what has been done. I mean, maybe you could say LaPorta will never do that again. I don't know. I
don't think. It was a rookie performance, and it's not like he had 1,200 yards receiving and 15 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a really good season, and it can give more.
248. Sorry,
I was just gonna say the one thing that's gonna kind of go under the radar a little bit now, but won't once the season gets going. They've kept the coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
They've kept this thing going. You know, what was successful after Dan Campbell made the switch right away? Hey, Anthony Lynn, it's not working out. This between you and I, it's not working out. Yep. You can stay with the team, but you're not going to be the offensive coordinator. Once he made that switch, when he was calling the plays and then had Ben Johnson helping him out and then turned things over to Ben Johnson, it's humming along. And the fact that Ben Johnson wanted to stay here each of the last two seasons when he could have taken a head coaching job, I think that speaks volumes to where they expect this thing to go. And having that continuity year in and year out is huge. It just is. And they have it, obviously, on the defensive side, too, because Aaron Glenn's been here since day one.
Get to more of your phone calls coming up. We also have a text here that starts with, bless your hearts.
Oh, here we go, from the South.
We'll get to that coming up today at 11:20 here on 97.1 The Ticket.